Friends, you've probably heard this before. Many of you have heard it from me, but it bears repeating. I kind of alluded to it at the beginning of Mass here. The Transfiguration isn't so much about Christ being transfigured as it is about our hearts and our minds being transfigured so that we can see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as they truly are. As they truly are. God wants to pierce through whatever is preventing our hearts from being completely open to Him so that we might receive the truth that He yearns to reveal to us. Talking about capital T truth here. To reveal that truth and then lead us closer to Him. That's what He's all about. And at first glance, this might not be obvious from today's first reading. And so this is where the prophet Daniel is relaying this bizarre and awesome vision that the Lord has given him. He sees the Ancient One. Now the Ancient One is God the Father, right? That's what is being pointed to here. And the Ancient One takes his throne in heaven. His clothing and hair are bright white. And his throne is flames of fire with wheels of burning fire and a surging stream of fire flowing out from where he sits. This is pretty wild stuff, right? And it's a clear display of his power and his grandeur. No doubt about that. But you might wonder, and I certainly wondered as I was praying through this, what is all that fire all about? Can anyone get near the Ancient One? It almost seems like he's unapproachable, right? So is that what this fire is meant to do, is to keep people away? Keep spirits away? Not at all. Not at all. Because we also heard thousands upon thousands are ministering to him, myriads upon myriads. And they're not doing this as unwilling slaves getting scorched by the fire as they're ministering to him. Rather, they do this as willing children of God, cleansed from any stain of sin so that they can be in his presence and joyfully returning love for love. They are in awe since, despite his overwhelming power, he knows each one of them by name. Each one by name. And thirsts for a unique relationship with each to share his very own life with each in a unique and beautiful way. So, now that we look at it this way, not so much a standoffish God at all, right? And his fire is actually a gift that opens up the very possibility of this wonderful relationship. We can't get close to him until we're cleansed. But this fire must be welcomed. That's the key. He's not going to force it upon them or upon us. And this is where his goodness and generosity really rise to an entirely new level. Also recall in the same vision from Daniel, one like a son of man appears, coming on the clouds of heaven. From the Ancient One, he receives dominion, glory, and kingship that last forever. They can never be conquered. And all peoples, nations, and languages serve him. Of course, we recognize this Son of Man as none other than Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, who is able to open the book of life and inscribe our names in there. That's so very important. In fact, he has come down from heaven, taken on human flesh, and has suffered, died, risen from the dead and ascended into heaven so that we might say yes to him and thereby make sure our names are inscribed in that book forever. They've been written in there at baptism, at holy baptism. But again, we must allow the fire of his love to lead us down this path and to cleanse, redeem, and renew us. This requires us to bear our share of the cross, but ultimately it leads us into his glory, into the peace and joy beyond all understanding. St. Peter knows all about this, perhaps better than most. You know, he's the top of the disciples. He's one of the greatest saints. And he wants us all to believe and to live it wholeheartedly, as we see in today's second reading. He mentions that he's not passing along cleverly devised myths when speaking of Christ. And especially in this passage, he's talking about the Transfiguration, where he was an eyewitness. No. He was an eyewitness to this astonishing event. He's not just passing along something third or fourth or fifth hand. James and John were also with him. And therefore, he's passing along his testimony along with the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. And he's pointing to the Old Testament here that is very reliable. And so, as Peter says, you and I will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. This is really, really beautiful and wonderful stuff, brothers and sisters. Peter, he's referring to the ongoing transfiguration of our hearts that takes place when we allow Christ to scatter our darkness, just like that lamp in the dark room, so that we can die to ourselves and rise to new life in Him. Allow that morning star to rise in our hearts, to cleanse us, to nurture us, to feed us. So yes, friends, fear not the Word of God, the written Word of God in Scripture, and fear not the Word made flesh, who reveals it to us over and over in profound and new ways. Now, all of this is a bit of a preamble that leads up to Matthew's account of the Transfiguration. That's kind of like the main event, we might say, of the Mass, and or at least of the Liturgy of the Word. And so in Matthew's account here, we see a clear link to Daniel's prophecy. We see some clear linkages. There's light, there's brilliance, there's splendor, there's awesome events, supernatural things taking place. Yet we also see the path toward ultimate fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy given by Matthew and the other synoptic accounts as well, Luke and Matthew. The dazzling divinity of Jesus is revealed. It's not like that didn't exist before, but now the three apostles can see it, and also Moses and Elijah, right? And so that's who Jesus is conversing with, we heard, Moses and Elijah. We see here the law and the prophets. Jesus isn't just talking to any old figures from the New Testament. He's talking to the two most significant ones in Jewish eyes. Moses, he was given the law, and then he passed it along, right? He's the biggest figure in the Old Testament, no doubt about it. And then Elijah is the biggest prophet. So we see the law and the prophets. That's kind of like the Old Testament, all encapsulated in one. And they're conversing with the Messiah and Savior, who encapsulates, of course, the New Testament and brings the Old to fulfillment. All this is going on at once. You can imagine the apostles, they're picking up on this, just totally amazed. And we know from Luke's account what they are discussing. It just says today they were conversing, but we know they were discussing Christ's final exodus from earth to heaven. That begins when he takes on flesh, but then it ultimately takes place through his passion, death, and resurrection. Now, remember that this is what the Son came into our world to do, so that our names might be in that book of life when the court is convened. Remember from the first reading, the ancient one comes and sits on his throne, and they open the books and court is in session. That's judgment, right? We want our books to be, or we want our names to be in that book when judgment comes, so that we might join our Savior in this exodus, the final piece of that exodus. And just to make sure that we get this desire of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for us to do this, the Father says, so the ancient one makes an appearance here. We can't see him, but he makes an appearance and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That last part is key. Listen to him. That's what the Father is saying. Don't just listen to him when it's convenient. Listen to him. It's so important. But we're not always great at listening to him, are we? Especially when it hurts, especially when it requires us to make changes. The Father's saying, listen to him. That's the best thing you can possibly do. And there's also a link to baptism here. Remember when Jesus is baptized in the Jordan? The voice comes booming out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so it takes us back to that beautiful moment of baptism in our lives, when we were immersed into this life of Christ, this exodus from this world to the next. That was our first kind of foot in the door, so to speak. And then every moment of our lives, we're supposed to listen to him. Listen to him, and he'll keep guiding us on and on and on, closer to him. Now back to the gospel account. Fear is the first reaction of the disciples, and we can't blame them, right? All these things going on, and then the booming voice, and they hit the dirt, right? They're face down, they're prostrate, they're terrified. And it kind of reminds us of the fire earlier in that first account initially. Like, well, all this fire around the ancient one, that's kind of scary. I don't want to get near this guy, you know, I'm going to get burned up. But Jesus approaches, touches them, and says, "Rise and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." How many times do we hear this throughout the scriptures? And we hear it a lot in the New Testament. God is on our team, brothers and sisters. He's not a competitor. He's not an enemy. He's not a tyrant. He's on our team. He wants what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. Oftentimes we don't, but He does. And He's offering it to us. Everything that He gives, all revelation, all mass, the sacraments, or devotions, all this is gift to us. Meant to draw us closer to Him and farther away from the darkness that's within and around us. So back to the account again. So all this is going on. Rise and do not be afraid. Then they look up and they saw no one else but Jesus. No one else but Jesus. This is a really profound statement. All these wonderful phenomena. The law and the prophets and the New Testament. Everything's all together. The exodus from this earth to heaven. All these things are going on. And then all of a sudden there's nobody there but Jesus. No more clouds. No more dazzling. Just Jesus in His humanity. And that's a wonderful thing because He's all we need, brothers and sisters. That's the clear message. He is all we need. We're meant to keep turning to Him. Keep turning to Him in the good, the bad, the ugly in our lives. He's all we need. He's the fullness of revelation. Be attentive to Him, right? Listen to Him. He's always reaching out, seeking to reveal more of Himself to us so that He can reveal our own selves to us. So we can see how much He loves us. Okay, let's wrap this together now, friends, and recognize that our hearts are meant to be transfigured every day, changed forever. Transfigured doesn't just mean like a little zap here and there, and then you pop back. It's changed forever. And this happens most beautifully and most completely in the Holy Mass, which is the greatest revelation we're going to have this side of earth. Heaven meets earth. It's the greatest gift. Is Holy Mass. It also happens in the other sacraments, in confession, in our daily prayer lives, but especially in Mass. Our hearts are transfigured in a beautiful way if we just say yes. So, brothers and sisters, allow the morning star to rise in your hearts. Be attentive to Him so He can scatter your darkness with the fire of His love and draw you ever closer to His most sacred heart.